think you've heard it all? You haven't. Peace Love Podcast brings you more OMG, wait, what moments? My life has been so dramatic and traumatic. I take a humorous look at it, and each week we will discuss with fun and laughter, full out mental health. I go there. I talk about being flawed and fabulous. So guys, let's get fabulous. I love my intro. I love doing my podcast again. I love that I took time off prior, but I am here. It is Know Your Worth November, and this is episode 17, Do What You Love and Love What You Do. Yep, when you do what you love and love what you do, one, you never work a day in your life, and it's such a sense of peace. So, yep, that is my middle name, Peace Love Marnie. But I have been doing what I love, and I love what I do, or have done most of the time. And I'm so grateful for all the feedback you guys, the few that have given it. Listen to me, you guys, like I have millions of followers. Dear God, one day I will bite my tongue, knock on wood. But it's been so nice when people have said to me, like random people that I never thought that I used to be so intimidated by, which was not self-love clearly, but they were like, wow, you know, your messages helped me. And I gave your book, you know, to a friend of mine, and somebody told me they saw my book at a friend's house coffee table. And like, oh my gosh, like, I can't believe this year I know I'm going to be a stocking stuffer. Yes, true to myself, Peace Love Marnie. It's not a book about bubble baths and how to have hair extensions. It's about almost 50 years of trauma after trauma after trauma. And like I said in my other episode, if mental health was an Olympic sport, I'd have the gold medal. And I would, because there isn't anything that I have not gone through. It may not be your circumstance, but the emotions are the same, and the wisdom I've gotten out of it, I am able to explain to other people what they are going through, their depression, if they're in the dark, if they feel rock bottom, basement, if they're having a hard time giving up an addiction. I have been there. Everything. Eating disorder. I fight with my body image and food every day. I hate food because I was judged younger. If I was thin, then I could be loved by family members. True, true, true story. Not unconditional love in my world. You were put on conditions. You had to be thin and look good, or the best you could possibly look. And so food, and if I ate, and because genetic wise, I have a tendency to gain weight, I just ended up starving myself when I was 20. What happened was I wore a two-piece bathing suit, and I weighed maybe 175 pounds at the time. And somebody said, you know, you shouldn't really be wearing a two-piece right now. I know. So I went back. I just can't believe the extra, there's no moderation in my world. My trauma left me with black or white thinking. That's the borderline. So I went back and starved myself and ended up to the other extreme, where I ended up in a eating disorder clinic. And I still battle to this day that food is fuel. It should not be for comfort. And I think now, what am I trying to comfort when I want to eat? Yes, it tastes good, and we all love food, and it brings people together. But when you take it to an extreme, like I did when I was pregnant, each time I gained 80 pounds. So I legit was 200 pounds each time I went into labor. And I just figured the first time, I don't have to worry about jeans. I can just eat whatever I want. And let me tell you, I ate. I mean, I was 200 pounds, and I was like the size of, like, I don't know. I was so tiny to start, got huge. Now you want to talk about depression? Now I'm left with a big body. I did not have my husband, who was Taylor's father at the time. It's a crazy story. I was not married to him. It was just so sad. And my confidence was based upon and contingent how I looked. So if I was not thin, I would not be liked. People would not like me. And I wanted to have liposuction. And my friend Lisa at the time, she said, no, you're not having liposuction. Just hire a trainer and do it the right way. And it ended up working. I had a trainer and I danced every morning at a dance class and took and it was just the training and just walking every day. It just, the weight fell off. And then when I had my son, I did it again. And this time it was even more strange because I worked at Green Agency, which was a model talent agency, but the models would come in and they're just so beautiful. And they are just these tall, elegant, fabulous people. And as I'm sitting there eating like bacon, egg McMuffins, hash browns, and garbage. I literally every day would order lunch and say, oh, let me just order something else for dinner. But it never made it home for dinner. Like I ate so much when I was pregnant. It just soothed every wound in my body. But I learned through the years how to eat as best as I possibly can. But I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh, I'm so fat. I still do that. And it's horrible. I mean, I didn't want to go on my antidepressants at first because I knew there was a chance I would gain 10 pounds. And I know some of you are listening and thinking, really, 10 pounds? It's all relative. For me, it was, oh my effing God, I don't want to. But it was either that or lose what was left of the little bit of mind I had. So it was worth gaining and having 10 pounds on me. But I walk, I try to dance as much as I can, I try to eat as healthy, but come on, I mean, food is still delicious and I am human, but I want to go back to doing what you love and love what you do. Present day, I mean, I'm a presenter for families and students for NAMI that was originally a volunteer and now I get paid to do it. So it's really cool. And also another really cool thing happened. I've talked about, and my mother's listening and she hates the very first chapter of my book, but she has no idea that the very last chapter talks about how proud I am of her, that her resilience is and her strength is just, I thought I was bionic. This woman puts the bionic in bionic. It's just, I've never seen, I think I went through a lot and I'm stuttering because she is remarkable. But I had a lot of resentment with my mother, only it has nothing to do with her past, with any addiction she had. It to do with present day that she never wanted to take accountability. Like, oh, get over it, Marnie. So what that you were left alone and so what that this happened, just get over it. You don't say that to somebody who's experienced trauma. So that kind of attitude today, that's negativity for me. And one negative zap, you're out. Again, guys, block who you ever have to, delete who you have to. If it brings 1 second of negative energy, negative thought, negative stimulation throughout, block it, get rid of it. It's not worth it to disrupt your peace at all. So with my mother always thinking like that, I was like, just leave me the F alone. Just, she's the best grandmother to my children. The things that she does with my children is what made me realize how blessed I am. When I was breaking down, when I lived in Aventura and Noah lived with his dad, you know, he was mad at me. My family was mad at me. There was no compassion. You ruined our family. Can't you just snap out of it? What's wrong with you? Be a mother, which only made it worse. Didn't make it better when you say that. So please don't say that to people. And so, oh my gosh, I just lost my train of thought. So they kept telling me, you know, get over it, get over it, get over it. But my mother was there for Noah and she still is. They are just best friends and they have this relationship. So a few weeks ago, I was in town and Taylor was in town and I saw Taylor and my mother talking about different TikToks and they were making chicken from one of the TikTok recipes. And I'm just watching like, damn, what would I have done without my mother? She may not have been there for me, but my kids, she's their nanny. They are such this world and this relationship they have that I was like, okay, I don't care that you weren't there for me in that, you know, present day, we've taken a long time to get to the place we are, and it's a day by day thing. No, she's laughing because she knows we're on the same team now. But it for the first time, she owns her nuttiness. She owns, you know, when she was little, my heart broke for her that when she was like 5'7" in fifth grade, they would be like, "Hey, how's the weather up there?" It's traumatizing. It's mean. So for all you bullies, it's just so mean. You never know how it's going to affect somebody in their life. And nobody ever thought, and I mean, even now, when I was growing up, nobody ever thought to say, "Well, your locker's a mess and maybe, you know, you're disorganized. You might have ADHD. Let's go see a doctor." No, it was saying, "Get your shit together." People today still tell people, you know, man up if it's your son or if it's your husband, or get over it. It's the cruelest thing you could do or say. You know, I fell once and broke my wrist and had to have a cast, and nobody said, "Oh, just wave your arm." I couldn't. It was broken. Just like your soul, just like your brain could be broken. Sometimes we're born with it. It's genetic. It's our environment. It's how we've never healed ourselves. But when you kind of stay true to who you are, you indirectly are doing what you love and love what you do. I have always had this fascination for performing, not necessarily being the performer, but just being around lights, camera, action. That just was just always in awe of it. When I was a little girl, 7 years old, I saw from a commercial being filmed, and then I got to go to the news one day, and then my mother had dated, when I was 9, Ralph Renick, who was Miami News, if you know Miami. So I have just been in awe and of performers since I'm a little girl. My friends, Jennifer and Stephanie, they were twin sisters, and they would sing for bar mitzvahs every Saturday, and I'd fangirl out at 10 years old. My friend Penny, who is just the most angelic, gorgeous soul inside and outside, literally and figuratively. When she was 10, if you're old enough to remember, the movie 10, when we were 10, no, a Freudian slip, no pun intended. I told her she had braids in her hair like Bo Derek. And I said to her that she looked exquisite like Bo Derek. I've talked about this before. And most 10-year-olds don't use the word exquisite. But when I say I have been a cheerleader for all women my entire life, go back to 1980. I have testimonials. So yeah, I'm not jumping on the, you know, be a queen bandwagon. I have been this way my entire life. In fact, Penny had on a cowboy hat recently, and she literally is as breathtaking today as she was at 10 years old and still looked like Bo Derek, who wore a Western cowboy hat the same. So it's really cool that I really, when I say I'm a cheerleader for women, I am a cheerleader for women. And it's weird, after I was 19 and lived through the horror of getting the shit beat out of me by that guy and sleeping on a floor, I all of a sudden woke up and said, "I want to be in commercials." And it's like, I'm sorry, I'm losing my voice a little bit from talking a lot. And it's weird because when I was little, I would watch Star Search and Performers and Joan Rivers. And it was never your typical MTV, Duran Duran kind of Wham-ish kind of life. I was more enthralled with show tunes and all that, you know, that jazz and jazz hands and all that stuff. So I one day said, "I want to be in acting classes or I want to be in commercials." So I took a ton of acting classes. I had never taken acting in high school. I certainly was not like an actress, although today with all the emotions inside of me, I could cue up on anything and nail it, but that is not my destiny. But the acting classes, what it gave me was confidence that at the time I may have booked commercials all on one hand, not realizing today in this world, in this lifetime I'm experiencing, how amazing that confidence has been given to me, aside from the confidence, you know, instilled in me when I was younger, just not confidence, maybe all the flair and fabulousness and glam and the traveling I did when I was younger. I'm talking like Vegas and these suites and, you know, the front row and Cher and Diana Ross, like all of these extraordinary adult, very mature things I did when I was younger. So I was never my age anyway, old soul. we can get into that a whole nother topic, but it gave me confidence and I actually booked some commercials. I booked, the first thing I ever booked was a Spanish JCPenney's during Christmas. And when I got to the set, which I love saying, that sounds so cool. When I got to the set, they didn't know where to place me because I was too young to be the mom, but I was too old to be like the big sister. So I was just probably the crazy aunt in the corner waving her hands like, oh, hey. And I did that over and over. But being in a trailer, having my makeup done, being wardrobed for JCPenney's Christmas was really pretty freaking cool. Even though my marriage to Dean at the time, that was the first time I was married, was, I don't even remember it, but going to those acting classes and going to auditions, even though I did not book, I was just so happy going on auditions, meeting people. And to this day, I'm still friends with some of them and my life-turning experiences. So did I go on 20 castings and maybe book five? Yeah. But I had the best time doing it. It wasn't about necessarily booking it. It was just having so much fun doing what I love doing. And that's when I met TR. I went for a taco casting on a Friday and TR was a casting director. And I read in the paper the next morning after I auditioned for him. And side note, I did not get the taco casting commercial, but I did read that TR opened up his new office, which was in Greenwich Studios. Side note, it was the show Flipper that was filmed in my old office. So I read that in the morning. It was the neighbor section of the paper announcing new businesses. And that afternoon, I ran into TR at a wedding. And I'm like, okay, looking back, really, the universe and the stars were all aligned. And I said to him, wow, congratulations on your new office. And I probably asked if I booked it and found out I didn't, the taco one the day before. And then I left there and this nudging thing in my head for the summer was like, call TR, see if you could work for him. I never had experience being a casting director. I didn't know the last thing about being a casting director other than I was scared shitless of them because you're in their waiting room and they don't give you the job, but they could push play, they could push delete, and it's just respect in the industry, obviously, for the casting director. And it was just, and I don't know, something just said, call TR, and I called him up, and I said, are you hiring? And he was like, yeah, I actually am. I'm like, no shit. So I learned how to cast. I mean, I'm talking SAG National commercials, hundreds of them. You had all these models in Miami. You had actors. We did the Verizon, the Can You Hear Me? Can You Hear Me Now? We did Yo Play. I did so many. I mean, can I have your name, please? And I'd go action. It was so much fun. And TR and his boyfriend at the time, Don would always come by, and Paul Greco, who is my favorite headshot photographer in the world, shared office space with us, and his boyfriend at the time, Anthony, would come in. So at this point, I had just started my flingy fling with Jay, and I got pregnant, worked through my pregnancy, had Taylor, and then went back to work, I think, about 6 months later. They all thought I was having twins because I was so heavy, but nope, it was just a lot of here comes the sun and garbage. Here Comes the Sun is a restaurant in North Miami who closed down. And wait, somebody wrote, we used to love this stuff called Sun Sauce. And if anybody's listening in Miami, I know you're like, oh my God, the best. He used to say it was so healthy. And when they closed down suddenly, they were like, by the way, there was real mayonnaise in the Sun Sauce. And it makes sense now because I would drink it like it was like soup. Even though it was the most delicious thing over, I don't know, it was just the best restaurant. I know I got distracted. That's my ADHD and just me going off track. So let me get back to where I was going. So at that point, when I was working for TR and hanging with TR and Don and Paul and Anthony, and those were my people. I may have been evicted. My daughter may have been too. My car, Paul and I watched it get rolled away and towed for whatever reason. We were at a casting doing real people for FPNL. And do you guys remember the Bob from FPNL commercials? Some of you might. And I was pregnant and I could smell maybe 3 football fields long. I said to Paul, like, pregnant. Is there hot dogs? Forget the casting, forget the people, forget TR holding the numbers, me needing to put people on tape. that moment, I stayed true to myself and I roared like a bolt somewhere, just rubbed my edge in and got those hot dogs. And that's just a fun side note, silly thing I talk about with Paul. So that way I'll know if Paul's listening, if he tells me about this story. So when, again, doing what you love, love what you do, being a casting director was the most badass job and time ever. My home life, I didn't really have one, but I loved driving to work. And then TR closed down. Okay, here we go, another loss. That heartfelt, what am I gonna do? I had no home. And I had to go live with this horrible, again, it's not his fault that he was a horrible alcoholic who was told me he was in recovery, who was not. So that was just really scary. And I had to live with him because where was I gonna go? Jay was still with his wife. Taylor was 3 and a half or almost 4, and TR had just closed his business. So I was hysterical. I mean, think about it. My daughter is 3 or almost 4. I am like, where am I going to live? And now I'm with this horrible alcoholic in his apartment, scared for my friggin' life, scared for my daughter's life, crying my eyes out. My friend Lisa, she had said to me, who was an agent at the Green Agency, who it's funny, who I met at my very first acting class, both of our first class, which is, wow, lifetimes ago. I was 22. I think she was like, oh gosh, I was such a baby. But with age comes wisdom. So I was hysterical crying. What am I going to do? I couldn't breathe. If talk about a time when you think you need to end it all and what the is going to happen. So she said, you know what? Let me ask Tammy and Lauren, who were owned the agency, it used to be Green and Green, it was now Green Agency, if you can work there. And my first response was, oh, okay, but now I have to go from being a casting director to an agent, which was the most absurd thing because being an agent is equally the best time of my life. But that moment was probably one of the scariest, hardest moments of my life. I was on the balcony of a stranger's apartment, not knowing where I was going to live, what I was going to do for work, anything. Jay was still with his wife. My life is told you, trilogy, Netflix series trilogy, which will be coming eventually. And so that moment of despair and then getting the job at the Green Agency, okay, now I'm an agent, now I'm making a living, and I didn't know my worth at the time. I didn't know about Know Your Worth November because I basically would have paid them to let me work there. So when they first asked, how much do you think you're worth? I sold myself so short, but I was so grateful. Like, how do you people in this amazing South Beach model talent agency that I am in awe of, all of your actors and models and agents, you guys want me to work for you? And I was a really, really good agent too. I mean, I just go by my instinct. And I write in my book, Michael Yo, who was down here as a local DJ for Y100, and he used to, he's just a great personality, and I love how he stays so true to himself, and he's half Korean and half Black, and he is so friggin' funny. He started doing comedy and stand-up, but prior to that, we were doing a casting for Pollo Tropical, and the producers, they were insisting upon a comedic sumo wrestler. Well, you're gonna get a sumo wrestler, but you ain't gonna get comedic, and you'll get a comedian, but it ain't gonna be a sumo wrestler. So Michael Yo just had this face that was just so delicious. You know, he was just perfect, and he booked it. And that was so cool. I was so happy for him. And today, actually, he's working on a new series, might be for Netflix or Amazon Prime, with Sarah Drew, who is April Kepner from Grey's Anatomy. I know my worlds collide because I thank everybody from Grey's Anatomy in my acknowledgments because they were my people for pretty much years. I would watch just, you know, you had 10 seasons and many episodes per season, but I would just watch it. It would be like continually going on my TV, like a turnstile, like always going. And so it was so cool, and I'm so proud of him. And it was just, I was doing what I loved and loved what I was doing, even though I had my personal life was basically begging Jay when I wasn't working to marry me and to leave his wife. True. I'm not saying that in jest. Like, oh, I asked him to leave. No, I was physically on the streets pleading for Jay to marry me and help me. And he did. He didn't want me living with that alcoholic after he went berserk. And Taylor and I had this little studio apartment. So it's funny when I see her today, actually, and at the time, I don't know how I did it, the strength I was given to go from house to house with my little girl. I mean, I did it as a teenager, so experiencing it with my daughter, sometimes we don't realize the strength we're given until we're in need of it, and we realize maybe we're our own superheroes. And now she's a senior at the University of Florida, and I was determined to give her the most typical life, which the unhealed version of me did the best I can giving my daughter a typical life. But we're going to talk about how nuts and insane I went, which left her with trauma. It did. And I say it in a, I have to chuckle because I look back and what I thought was typical, I don't say normal, was my way was so absurd with this poor girl. When she didn't want to be an actress, I would like give her that look like, what do you mean you don't want to be an actress? Or she would be practicing a monologue for school play or her scene, and she'd have chips nearby and took her, and I would hit her on the arm with her chips because she wasn't doing her monologue. She was 7 or 8. Looking back, I am such a poster child for unhealed everything, but there was shame. Look, there's shame and stigma today, which it's so ridiculous. I always say, but you're not robots. You are humans with emotions, and our emotions are allowed to be all over the place. It doesn't matter what race, gender, anything you are, our insides are the same, and our insides sometimes hurt more than others. You can also have a broken soul with a very happy appearance. That's why you have to always just be kind, or don't go out of your way to be mean to people. You know, at the time when I had a meeting with my son's school, he was in special needs school, and I remember crying on the bathroom floor. It became like my home at that point, and there needed to be a meeting because my son was having problems with this other child, and this mother just had it in for me, and she was like, you know, not all of us are as privileged like you are. And I was like, privileged? Honey, do you realize it took every... I don't even know how I drove here on autopilot. I have not stopped crying for days. I had bags under my eyes. I probably had my sunglasses on from vanity because that caused my insanity. And I am like, is that how people judge me? Like, is I'm looked at as like privileged? Because I don't act privileged. That is the one thing I am, with all of the bad that has happened to me, I am probably the most compassionate person that I just want to heal the world. I mean, I don't have a mean bone in my body. And I know my ex-husband Jay right now would be chuckling like, yeah, right. But it's called, I reacted, my unhealed trauma would react in over the top ways when my buttons were pushed, which a lot of us can relate. So once I removed myself from my marriage, I stopped getting those buttons pushed. And I realized a lot of that overreacting has subdued. And I took that learning experience out in the real world, that when something doesn't go as planned, okay, it wasn't meant to be. If I don't hear from somebody, okay, let me go on to do something else, and whatever I do next, I'm supposed to be doing at that moment. And finding out, you know, when I wrote my book, which was 2 years ago, it was just at the end. Wow. That was the most cathartic thing for me. When I first came out with it, I was like, well, why am I not promoting it? Why am I not promoting it? And not thinking about, well, why don't you just, I was talking about promoting it via media, not just promoting my book. But it was very hard because I was in the city, that Miami, where I wrote the book and it all takes place. And there are some people that, I don't know, I felt a little awkward, a little bit awko, but I stayed true to myself. And I was just like, screw it. This is my life. This is what happened. If you're in it, great. If you're not, great. If you were a part of it, thank you for your experience. You were a reason, a season, or not the lifetime yet, except my children. And wow, I think about what I have been going through in the book. When I finished my book, that was 2 years ago. So what has happened in the past 2 years could be another couple books. So it just doesn't stop. And Which is a good thing because, look, who knew when I wrote my book, I didn't jump on the bandwagon for mental health or anything like that. I've been talking mental health before. It was very, you know, very chic to talk about mental health or whatever the word is I'm looking for. And so this is my world. My hobbies include mental health. My recovery is mental health. I used to be so ashamed to talk about that I had anything wrong with me, that I even wanted to take medication. And now I just talk about it like it saved me. Like I couldn't imagine what I would do if I was not medicated, that the disorganization I had, the way I spoke, the way I allowed myself to be manipulated, the way I allowed situations to manipulate me. I mean, everything in my life changed. And, you know, it's not a magic pill. It's not like taking a pain pill. It's like, oh, feel anything. It's just, you just live and you don't have this stress that's put upon you because, again, I always say again, I'm going to have to count. Maybe we should do a drinking game. Every time I say again, take a shot. It's remarkable that when I look back, the unhealed trauma that I let go or didn't even realize I had my entire life, could have, would have, should have, my whole life would have been different, but I'm able to take the messages I've learned from it and share it so nobody ever has to go through any kind of self-yucky feel and thinking they're not worthy. Because if a guy, girls, okay, women, ladies, girls, I am single now. I date myself, but I know the old me used to be so desperate. And I used to think, I wrote in my book that about this actor that I had this thing with. I wrote about how the experience just led me to writing my book. But I thought being with him would make me feel fabulous. Now, for the moment, it was like cool, but that didn't make me happy. I needed to be happy with myself. And some girls think, you know, I was promiscuous when I was young. I realize now that was me just wanting to be loved. So I was called a slut so many times growing up. Let me tell you something that affected, I can't say it did good for my self-confidence growing up. So if anybody's listening to this, and if you know somebody that says stuff and teases, it's so cruel. Think you tell people they're fat. Well, what do you think gives them the purpose to eat? Pain and hurt and sorrow. I get very passionate about it. And a lot of girls think if they fool around with guys, it'll make them more appealing. It'll get the guy to like them. I could tell you, no way, Jose. I used to say to my daughter, hey, stop right there. This is my no-no square. And nobody should see anybody's naked body until they know your naked soul. And I can't believe that I would think, oh my gosh, if somebody's talking to me, oh, I feel fabulous now. Or, oh, this person's talking to me. Or it's like, oh no, I just love me. I love me. And that's all you guys need to do is just love yourselves. And if you want to take an acting class and your family laughs at you like mine did, who cares? It's what you love. If you want to be a lawyer and they want you to be a doctor, doesn't matter. If you want to be a lawyer, go to law school. It's your life. If you want to paint rocks all day, then you know what? Open up a stand and paint rocks. I guarantee you people will take a class. If you want to, I mean, there's something for everybody. We all have that passion within us. And through COVID, I have seen people who lost their restaurant and they just took a van and made it like a drive, a food truck, and it changed their lives. Me, you know, right with COVID, it gave me time to prepare. It wasn't punishment that I didn't have my book or my podcast where I want to be. It's preparation. I'm ready to go now. Know Your Worth November now. Oh, I like that. Hashtag Know Your Worth November now. That's pretty cool. So I'm a work in progress. I will always be a work in progress. But you could be happy, healing, and hurting all at the same time. But I won't allow myself to hurt because I know there's a reason for every second, for everything that has popped in my head that I've talked about that's not scripted. Somebody needed to hear whatever it was. And I keep going. I don't stop when I mess up because, I don't know, I just get in my zone and it's just it's one of the most cathartic things I do. And I was afraid to do it. I was self-sabotaging myself with my podcast. My whole life was just becoming autopilot and I didn't like that. So on that note, my favorite podcast people, I don't know. This is just so fun. I can only imagine now if I was actually having cocktails doing this. I would need a co-host for that. I definitely would need a co-host for that. So dance your depression away, guys. Laughter is what we're all after. Never let anybody dull your sparkle. Stay true to who you are. Sending so much love and so much peace. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Peace Love Podcast. I hope you learned a little bit, hope you laughed a little bit, and please, if you can, subscribe and leave a review, possibly how amazing this episode was. Remember, stay true to who you are and never, ever let anybody dull your sparkle.